Yes, that Langhorne's on the right, babe. Not that Mackey's back in town. Look out, old Mackey's back.
Yeah.
Chris McMahon.
Yeah. On the Fan, McMonagle here with you on this Thursday morning. Yes! What a night of baseball! Needed it! I got you for 3 hours until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call and get involved. And let's do it! Me and Fleegs with you for the next 3 hours right here on the Fan. And obviously, a big night of baseball as the Mets, OMG, you just heard on the update there, Pete McCarthy, as Iglesias continues to be just uber impressive. Nimmo with the power surge, 3 consecutive games of the home run, the first time of his career. The Mets rally back, win a game 6-2, and now look out. As we talked about how important these games were for both teams, but now the Mets are a half a game out of the wild card and looking to make real noise in these last couple of games heading into the All-Star break, and we'll get to them in a second. And the New York Yankees finally get a win. Finally. And more important than that, get a close, hard-fought, you know, clean, crisp, played defense, pitched. The bullpen was terrific in this game. Even Aaron Boone, you're going to have to admit, one night only. No one's asking you to say he's the next Miller Huggins, but let's be fair. Every button push last night was perfect, and Grisham gets both RBIs. He gets a game-saving catch in the eighth inning. But the reason why I thought this game was so important for the New York Yankees is a couple of things. One, as I said, clean, crisp. I like the idea of starting the game and changing the lineup a little bit. You know, I've been on this kick where I want Soto leading off. I want someone hitting second. I'm either trying to get going or someone who's hot, and then Judge hitting third. I've wanted that for a while, but I'll be honest with you. Although it didn't prove to be effective game one here, I don't mind Verdugo hitting cleanup. I'm trying to get Verdugo going. And you watch the at-bats. I mean, it's just, he's been brutal. Fastballs and fastball counts just being laid on them. I mean, but you got to get him going because, as I said yesterday, he's just one of the guys that we could talk about, and we will at 888-808-1019, who they should trade for, what they should do, how do you improve this team, what Cashman needs to do. The conversations we'll continue to have up until July 30th. But the fact of the matter is Verdugo's a part of this team. You can't out-trade everybody we don't like. And Verdugo is someone who's going to have to be a part of this team. I want to get him going. Putting him in front of a Judge and Soto and trying to get him fastballs to start the game. Now, you're the leadoff hitter. Do you want to pop up the first pitch of the game to the catcher? No, you don't want to do that. But ultimately, I'm trying to get him fastballs. But why I thought this game was so important, and it started with that. And yeah, they didn't score a lot of runs, and the offense still has its issues. And yeah, do I get nervous? Yes. Did that bullpen come in and do a great job? Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the two-pronged thing of this game is, one, the bullpen. And what you saw from Hill in that moment to come in and get low with 3 consecutive fastballs and his kind of herky-jerky motion and what he's been able to do. And, you know, obviously Weaver comes in and does a great job. But ultimately, the bullpen pitching through runners on base, getting out of jams. The thing that jumps out at me about this game is, yes, they've lost whatever it's been, right? They've 7 out of the last 20, whatever. I'm tired of giving you them. 6 out of 20, say 22, 7 out of 23, whatever the stupid numbers are. We know they've been brutally bad over the last 25, 27 games, right? They've been bad. Haven't won consecutive games, and they'll have an opportunity to do that later today with Nestor Cortes on the mound. But what I liked about this game for the New York Yankees was, if you look back, even their wins, whether it's the explosion for 16 runs against Toronto, whether it's the comfortable game on Saturday against the Red Sox where Ben Rice hits three home runs. They have yet to battle through a close game and figure out how to win during this stretch. And no one's throwing parades. I'm not telling you that's the end of it. But what I'm telling you is when you look for momentum-changing victories, and that's what they're in desperate need for, they're in desperate need of some momentum-changing victories. Sometimes it is with the blowout, everybody gets right. We've seen that. That game in Toronto where, you know, Gleyber had a home run and three hits. And then we've seen games where, you know, LeMahieu has had a couple of hits. They've scored a ton of runs, home runs from Ben Rice. It feels like, okay, maybe that game will finally get him going. And it hasn't. And every time they've gotten into these close games where it's won or lost in the bullpen, whether it's won or lost by one mistake, whether it's won or lost by, you know, typical baseball stuff that and fundamentals, as we consistently talk about the fundamentals of this Yankee team, whether it's the hustling, whether it's the boneheaded mistakes on the base path, whether it's, you know, all the other things that have come with this losing streak where they've played like the worst team in baseball over the last month. They were yet to get through one of these games. They were yet to put Clay Holmes on the mound and have an easy ninth inning. And yeah, Grisham saved his ass and saved the team's ass with a ball that I thought was absolutely up the alley for a game-losing double from Diaz. And I could see it playing over in my mind how they blew another tight game, how the bullpen yet again is unable to secure a victory, how the offense is yet again unable to add and tack on, and that's still the case. But what felt good about this victory was that they were put to the test. Every time they have been put to the test in these last 22, 25 games since the Kansas City Royals series, the last series that they've won, the last time they've won multiple games in a row, every single time they've been put up against it, every single time they needed to make the one smart play, the one good play, the one defensive play, make the one pitch, get the one big hit, whatever the case may be, they have failed over and over and over again. And last night was the first time where, I mean, you have runners, you have bases loaded, you have a runner, you have runners at the corners, you have a big spot with, you know, guys like Hill stepping into a big spot in the fifth inning where, you know, you can't get any more length out of Stroman, who relatively kept the damage low but didn't get deep into the game. And I thought Boone pulled him at the exact right time. I thought Boone had an excellent game when bringing in relievers. But ultimately, when the pitch had to be made, when the defensive play had to be made, when just enough offense had to be scratched out, they figured out a way to get a win. And I'm hoping now, as we look at this tough schedule and as we look at where they are here and waiting on the trade deadline and waiting on every other move that has to be made, and Cashman right now, as well as every other team, is focused on the draft, and nobody's really declared themselves sellers or buyers just yet. Heading into this stretch where you've got now an opportunity to win your first series later today against, let's be honest, a lousy Rays team. A Rays team that right now is surrounded and enthralled with their all-world shortstop being, you know, arrested for, you know, sexual assault on a minor and everything that's going around with that story and everything going around with that team, and they can't score any runs, and they're, you know, they're trading away Maton and they're, you know, struggling. And to finally go in there, take it to the Rays, who have consistently beat the Yankees, and Jack Curry said it in the postgame, like, this is a game the Yankees have lost not just this year, not just last year when they were awful at 82-80. They have consistently lost these close games to Tampa Bay. Consistently. So while they still have a lot more to do and nobody's saying this thing has turned around and nobody's saying here come the Yankees just yet, that was the kind of win the Yankees haven't done in this stretch. It's the kind of win they haven't really had against Tampa Bay in the last handful of years. And it's a game that was necessary, and hopefully this type of win where you get the good defense, you get the big-time pitching, you get double plays when you need them, you get relievers who you have no confidence in coming in, striking out some of the middle of the order in big spots early in the game. You get Clay Holmes in for a four-out save to hopefully build some confidence with him. A lot of little things happened in this game that make you feel better. And now they have an opportunity with a series win tonight and the first time of winning back-to-back games heading into the most important series as of yet, as they all are, the most important series as of yet, a three-game set against Baltimore, who struggled themselves. The Yankees gained a game last night, as Baltimore has now lost the first two games of their series against the Cubs and shut out last night against Imanaga. as they're about to hopefully head into that series, this is an opportunity to, you know, honestly stable themselves. Even though if you look at the standings, they're 4.5 games up on the wild card. They've got 2 games behind the Baltimore Orioles. They are right in the thick of things. As much as we get angry and as much as we're disgusted and as much as we're concerned about this roster and what it's been doing and how it's played and the manager and what can Cashman do and how bad it's all been, I mean, to quote the great Aaron Boone, it's right there in front of them. And last night's victory was an important victory. This would be an important series win if they can get this win tonight, which, again, this is how it works. If they get blown out tonight, if they lose tonight, if Nestor Cortez continues his streak of pitching poorly on the road, then that win means absolutely nothing. And you head into Baltimore off of another lost series, feeling pretty down on, about the whole thing, probably lose a game because Baltimore is probably not going to get swept by Chicago. And ultimately, you'll be in the same position we were yesterday. That's why you have to build on this stuff. That's why momentum is so important. And this is a big start for Nestor Cortez heading into the biggest series of the year. And if they could ever find a way to win tonight, take 2 of 3 from Baltimore, that would go a long way heading into the break with a full week off until next Friday. Enable, you know, a way to able to stabilize the season, feel good about yourself for a brief moment, and get ready to take on this second half that's going to open with Tampa Bay and hopefully find yourself battling and feeling better about it as you're a week or two away from the trade deadline of stabling this year. So yes, last night's just one game, but it's one game, or excuse me, it's only one game if they lose tonight. If they win tonight, that's what's called a winning streak. And if they can build some confidence heading into the Baltimore series, that will be enormous for this New York Yankee team. And then the Mets, we talked about this stretch for the Mets, and now you're getting into a point when you came off that 8-game set, that 8-game road trip, where you were looking to gain some ground, and ultimately you come back 4-4, you lose the last 2 games against Washington, you lose the last game against Pittsburgh, and you head into this homestand against Washington and Colorado. You were hoping to get a couple of wins, a couple of series wins. You're hoping you'll go 4-2. You feel fine, blah, blah. Now it's time to get greedy, as they are only 0.5 game out of the wild card as San Diego lost last night. And you are looking at it, and you take the first 2 games of the series. You pitched well, and ultimately the offense does what the offense does. And, I mean, Iglesias is just incredible. What he's brought to this team is, forget the, like, and I might knock the concert they put on. I'll never knock the song. I'll never knock rallying around something. You know, it's fun to do it. The OMG signs are fun. I have no problem with it. Did they go over the top in the concert? Yes, but that's a long time ago. But what he's brought on the field, forget everything else. What he's been able to do, the clutch at bats, the good at bats, the going the other way, you know, the slick defense he's been playing at second base. You've stabilized the position that McNeil had in turmoil. I mean, he's been as important. I talked yesterday about the people ahead of Pete Alonso and upset a lot of Met fans. But the people ahead of Pete Alonso in the importance and the pecking order of this turnaround, I mean, Iglesias is so far at the top of this thing. It's remarkable. And yeah, you know, you had the incident, you know, where Severino doesn't call, you know, back up behind home plate, and you'd like to see that. And obviously, you know, Ron Darling is killing him for it. But ultimately, Mets played a pretty good, crisp, clean game again. The offense is just, I mean, Nimmo's on this power surge. He crushed that ball. The other day, he hits one the other way. You don't know how it got out. This one we weren't so concerned about. This one's 420-plus feet. He's been absolutely smoking baseballs. Anything in the strike zone, he's been absolutely killing. Alonso does come through with a big hit to score some runs. I don't know how the hell he doesn't score from second base on a ball off the wall, but ultimately, this team now, it's in a position heading into this All-Star break, and we talked about how important it is these games to make a statement to your general manager. And Nimmo can, you know, nudge him all he wants. The way to do it is to win baseball games. And you take the first 2 games against this Washington team, and now you're looking to really, I mean, to sweep it sounds greedy, but why not? Why not? Because as good as, you know, Gore has been for the Nationals, you got Peterson on the mound, who's been fairly, you know, competent over the last couple of stretches. And then you're heading into a 3-game set against one of the worst teams in baseball. This is an opportunity where you could head into the All-Star break in a playoff position. And if I would have told you back when I declared the Mets dead at the end of June, In the middle of June, at the end of that 10-game homestand, where they lost those last two games after the meeting, after all the momentum that was built up with the first two wins against Arizona, after losing those last two games against Arizona, being 10 games under 500, losing a 10-game homestand, feeling like this thing was just completely dead. The idea that the Mets in a couple of days could be at the All-Star break in a playoff position seems too good to be true. And they are right there. They are right there to make a statement to themselves, to the GM, to the rest of the National League, because to make up all the ground, because at that point, only Colorado and Miami were behind them. Everybody else was in front of them. Everybody else in this wild card was in front of them on that date where I declared them dead. Every other team in the National League. They were the third worst team in the National League. And they are right now 4 games away against the Nationals team that they've had they've played very well against and have beaten them over the last two series against them, and now going to head into play a Colorado team, one of the worst teams in baseball. You are looking at being in a wild card position a mere month after being behind everybody else in the National League. And I don't know what else this GM would need. I don't know what else this owner would need. I don't know what else the Mets could possibly do other than to completely revamp their season within a month, score a ton of runs, be as potent an offense, be as, you know, comeback and, you know, oriented and tough oriented as they've been, have the rotation step up and start to give you length, show all the different, whether it's Severino last night, Quintana the other night, you know, Scott. Now you've added Budo to the bullpen. They made a couple of bullpen moves before the game. You're hopefully getting your bullpen in order. That's clearly what they're lacking. I don't know what else this GM would need, who's already made some bullpen moves, to go out there and really try and bolster this team for a stretch run when they've already, hypothetically and hopefully, have thrusted themselves into a playoff spot before the All-Star break. I mean, we talked about how important these 6 games were, and right now both teams are showing how different their seasons could be by winning these 6 games heading into the All-Star break. And for the Yankees, it's hopefully stop the bleeding, and for the Mets, it's get into a position where you leave no doubt and Stearns has got to bolster this team and you put yourself into a playoff position. It's one thing, we talked about it, it's one thing to be a game out, 2 games out, 3 games out and call yourself in it. It's another to literally be in it. And the Mets are 4 games away from doing it. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We got a couple of other storylines surrounding the baseball team. Stanton and the New York Yankees, it sounds like he could be back without rehab games, hopefully right after the All-Star break. We got to get to that and hopefully what that would mean. Some of the other things and this bullpen in this Yankee game we can get to, some of the minutia of the game, and how Aaron Boone had a terrific game for the New York Yankees. And right there with Grisham was one of the biggest factors in the win that they desperately needed.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle with you, just getting underway on our Thursday morning program. Tomorrow I'll be with you all day long.
That's right.
Heartache! Tomorrow I'll be with you again at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I'll be filling in with Evan. I guess Tiki's off. Be me and Evan in the afternoon. On the eve, we'll be able to talk about, hopefully, a Yankees series victory against Tampa leading into what will be the biggest series of the year so far. The Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore for a 3-game set right before the All-Star break. And hopefully with the Mets, I mean, tonight there's a chance they could be in the wild card position after tonight's games. And it's just a remarkable turnaround. And the vibes around the team, I mean, even as they've struggled a little bit, Over the last, you know, right now they're riding high off of the first two wins against the Nationals and you're getting greedy for this sixth game. But even, you know, after, you know, splitting after, you know, probably should have won that series against Washington. You end up splitting that series. You end up splitting the Pittsburgh series. You'll lose the Astros series before that. And so it hasn't been that unbelievable run that was, you know, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. But it's still winning baseball as they've taken another series here against Washington. They pounded Patrick Corbin, who, I mean, you want to talk about bad contracts and you want to talk about guys the Mets pound. Well, he's 1-9 on the year. But, I mean, this turnaround and the continue of, you know, I mean, and guys who just show, like some of the at-bats, too, with the Mets have just... The other day, the home run from Nimmo, I had no idea how that carried all the way. I'm watching the game, too. I'm watching both games at the same time. I thought, I was shocked Vientos' ball. I thought he got jammed on it. He hits it off the wall in right center field, arguably some of the deepest parts of the ballpark. Like, and then Bader, Vientos, Iglesias, and he continues to come through with big hits. I mean, it's really just this Met team right now. The bullpen's a mess. We get it. The bullpen's a mess. They made some moves to try and bolster it. You could see, obviously, guys like Budo now and guys from the rotation when Senga gets back. Or, you know, that could be where they go. But I just got a tweet right now from, you know, someone who's active with me. Very often it's, you know, he hates me. But Darth Penguin, who I don't want to be on the wrong side of Darth Penguin, but... Stern should not mortgage any prospects for a run at this year. I just don't understand that logic whatsoever. I don't understand the idea that you... I'm not saying trade away your best prospects. I think there is a limit. No one's saying you got to go trade for Miller, who saved the game against the Red Sox last night for Oakland. I understand you don't have to... I'm not... You know, I don't think anyone's suggesting going out there and trading away all your best prospects. But the idea that you can't trade from this organization at all... to try and bolster this bullpen, try and get somebody in the late innings, try and figure out a way to make this bullpen dynamic. Because honestly, if you have a dynamic bullpen with this team, what don't you have other than the ace? And we'll see what Senga is when he comes back. And Severino, while very, very good, and I do like his stuff, hasn't struck out guys the same way he has in his previous career with the Yankees. And I just don't know if I would call him an ace. But Quintana has pitched fantastic. Again, Severino, I trust. And Kodai Senga last year was a solid number two. So you're talking about, you know, in a playoff series at the bare minimum. And now we'll see what Scott's going to do. You are going to have a rotation for a playoff series with maybe not a one, but multiple twos and multiple threes. And maybe guys who are hoping trending in the direction of giving you more length, but... The problem with them is they don't go deep, and that's not a problem, you know, unique to the New York Mets in Major League Baseball. Not many guys go deep. A lot of Yankee fans are praising Stroman. I'm watching the postgame. Hey, Stroman kept him in it. Stroman kept him in it. Stroman couldn't get out of the fifth inning. Like, that's baseball today. I heard a call with Keith talking about Juan Marichal pitching 200 pitches. I mean, this is what we know this isn't it. We know what baseball is. These guys aren't going to go deep. Your bullpen is too important to be in a playoff position. I mean, they could possibly be. The next time you hear my voice after today, the Mets could be in a playoff position. They could be a wild card team. How do you not do what you can to make the one glaring weakness of your team better? Because honestly, yeah, the Dodgers are good. How have they done in the playoffs since 2020? The Braves are good. How have they done in the playoffs since their World Series championship the last couple of years? Yeah, the Phillies are good. They can't be beat. I mean, you are, as far as I'm concerned, right there with any team in the National League. You don't want to... Who knows what next year brings? I have got to see this through. I have to. They've given me enough. Lindor and this team have given me enough. Yeah, and I put Lindor there right at the top of this because he is the leader of this team. He's made, you know, again, last night, terrific defensive plays on a ball up the middle. He's got great range up the middle. He's got an incredibly strong arm. Now, I think he's got a fair number of errors this year, but he's still a tremendous defensive player and the leader of this team. And although he goes hitless last night, he's been everything you could have asked for. And, you know, you got guys like when you have years, like if you look at it with the Mets, here's like a special thing. Like when you look at a Met team and you can honestly say, you are getting career years and solid years from your lineup last night, 7-8-9. You could argue you are getting the best Iglesias has ever been in his career. You are getting the best, and now it's not all world or anything, but you are getting the best that Tyrone Taylor has ever been in his entire career, back-to-back nights with a triple. And you are arguably getting, almost inarguably, getting the best Harrison Bader has ever been. You are getting career years, not just nice surprising years, not just, hey, better than I thought. Hey, Bader was supposed to be a fourth outfielder. I mean, he's slight. No, I mean, Bader is hitting 275. 275 with Gold Glove calibers center field defense, along with some pop and clutch hits all year long. I mean, you're getting career years out of Vientos. I mean, I know that's not much of a career, but it's been the best. I mean, you have too many guys. That's how you know you have a special year, right? Like you want to, and again, I'm going to say something that people are going to freak out about. I'm not trying to compare them. But what made the 1998 Yankees special, and I'm not trying to compare the two teams, but Scott Boras hit Scott Brosius hit 300 and drove in 99 runs from the nine position. Like when you get the bottom of your order having all career, 7-8-9 in the Mets lineup last night is playing the best baseball of their lives. You cannot waste that. Who knows what 7-8-9 look like next year? Who knows? Or the year after, or the year after. This team has done too much offensively. The starting rotation starting to come together. You have got to go bolster this bullpen. And that's it. No one's saying go out of bat. Go trade for Vladimir Guerrero. Go do something crazy. Go, you know, trade away all the prospects you got last year from the Scherzer and Verlander trades and go get the best starting pitcher available. Go get, you know, Chapman and whoever else, to play third base. Not even that you would want to do that. Who would you even, like, no one's suggesting any of that. But you've got to go out there and get legitimate arms and at least one really good, legitimate eighth inning guy. I don't think it's asking for too much. And if it costs you more prospects than you'd like because of this, the way the trade deadline is set up, then it costs you more prospects than you'd like. That's it. You got to do it. And I know, you know, on the other side of town, Brian Cashman made some comments that for some reason seem to be making people think that anything other than doing everything they can to get the best, to get as many good players in here at the trade deadline. I understand he said he's open to anything. Brian Cashman is not open to sitting on his hands. Brian Cashman is not open to selling with this team. You can't with this team. You cannot. You can't. If you sell with this team, it might cost your manager's job. It might cost you your job. Like, you just can't. Unless he's been given assurances, which, again, to be fair, might not be out of the realm of possibility. But I can't trade. This is the year Juan Soto's here. It's the win or bust type season. The fan base is going crazy. You can't sell this year. You can't not buy this year. The idea that Brian Cashman has anything other on his mind than helping bolster this team, when he says he's open to anything, he means he's open to trying to help the bullpen by getting starters and putting other starters in the bullpen. Like that's what he means by open. He's open to getting any type of player that he deems good enough to make an impact on this team and then figuring out how to maneuver the roster after that. He might go get a position that we don't deem important right now. Or he might go do something that we would be surprised with. But he's not going to do nothing and he's not going to sell. That's just out of the question. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Philip in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip?
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Well, I want to talk about the Mets.
Sure.
And they're a half a game out of the playoffs.
They certainly are. And
you have to give up something to get something. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to bring up about Oakland's Mason Miller. Do you think the Mets would be better if they get Mason Miller? Don't forget, he's signed for 6 years. And do you think it's worth it? And do the Mets have what it takes to get him? Because I don't usually think that he's one in a million. He's, to me, he's a really good relief. And but him and Diaz, I think, would make a good 1-2 punch. That would improve the biggest weakness for the Mets, which is their bullpen. So would you go after a player like that and give up?
I mean, yeah. What do you think you have to give up?
Okay,
let me ask you.
I would give up Beatty. Start with Beatty and Scott. Would you do something like that?
Beatty and Christian Scott?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, listen. The adding Christian when you said Beatty, I was gonna tell you not good enough. You add Christian Scott, it might not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the realm of plausibility now if you add Scott. But no, I mean, I think honestly, if you want Mason Miller, let me just check his contract again and see exactly how many years he has.
I think it's six. Right.
If he has every single year of control still, I mean, you're talking about giving up probably more than that. So he's got...
Yeah, I realize. Yeah, that would be a start. But I just like the 1-2, you know, of Diaz and Miller. I think that would definitely improve the net weakness of...
Listen. Does he improve the team? I mean, that's just no point of even answering that question. Of course he does. I mean, does it help the Mets? Of course it does. The guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he's been one of the better closers in baseball this year. And, you know, I mean, but right now, I mean, I think we're talking about next year being his first year of arbitration. Oh, no, pre-arbitration. Like, the guy, you're going to have, it says pre-arbitration, yeah. No, I mean, you're talking about a guy who throws 100 miles an hour, is already closing games in Major League Baseball, and you got him for 5 years. I mean, yeah, you know, Beatty, Christian Scott, throwing Angel Acuna, throwing Jet Williams, like that. I mean, that's what you're talking about. These are prospects. Scott's made a couple of nice starts. But, I mean, you're talking about prospects who've proved nothing as opposed to a reliever who's already closing games in the major leagues on 100 miles an hour. Like, I understand why the Mets wouldn't make that move necessarily, because now you're giving up, you know, in my mind, Williams, Gilbert, or Acuna, one of them is going. At the bare minimum, one of them is going. I would probably think Scott and one of them. That's probably what it's going to cost you. Are you willing to do Scott and Gilbert? Scott and Acuna? For Miller, I mean, that's what you're talking about. This guy's proven. This guy's dominating. And, I mean, that move right there transforms the Mets into a legitimate contender. I think that's how good the move is. If I'm going to go make that move, then I go crazy and try and add an ace starting pitcher too. What the hell? Blow the whole thing up and try and win a World Series this year. But I don't expect. He's too far. I mean, you got other guys who are further down the line. You can go trade for Tanner Scott. You can go trade for Crochet out of Chicago, and it's not going to cost you what Mason Miller is going to cost you. In a world where relievers are in high demand and so few teams are willing to give them up. I mean, Mason Miller right now is going to be the crown jewel of the trade deadline if he's out there. I don't expect that move, but yeah, that would transform the Mets. It would transform the Yankees. That's a move. I mean, the question is with the Yankees, are you willing to give up Spencer Jones for him? Will you give up Spencer Jones and another prospect might get it done. It's going to cost you Spencer Jones. There's no question about it. You want Miller? Spencer Jones. And plus more. Plus more. Not just one up, plus more. Andre in the Bronx. What's up, Andre?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm pretty good, yourself. Hey, listen to me, right? Earlier in the year when I was calling you guys, I was telling you, like, when the Yankees were winning, they were dominating, and that staff looked like it was invincible. I know that they need more pitching, and they want to take a run at Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the simple fact that you don't know what Rizzo is going to be when he comes back, and you don't know if Soto is going to bounce, you know, for $700 million. So you want to start thinking about that, but you got to get some pitching because the Yankees starting pitching is not going to be good enough. And also, they cannot stop runners from running. And in the playoffs, they're going to play teams like Cleveland, probably Seattle, those kind of teams, and they're going to run all over the Yankees. How do they fix that problem?
They don't. They get better at it. That's it. Last night they threw out a runner. Trevino threw out a runner trying to steal second base. Like, there's nothing you can do. You got to get better at holding runners on. You got to be. What are they going to do? Go trade for a catcher who throws everybody out? It's not plausible. They're not going to trade. You have to just get better at it. That's the only option with that. They have to be better at it. They have to hold runners on better. They have to focus on it more. They've got and then Wells has been a little bit better than Trevino, but again, Trevino threw a runner out last night. So they've got to be better at it.
So then what about Vlad Guerrero Jr.? He's open to coming to the Yankees. I mean, they're going to need that bat because, you see, Giancarlo makes a big difference in their lineup, but you don't know if he's going to come back and tweak something. At least Vlad Jr., you know, he's kind of healthy, but he's a beast of a player. And I think he would do good in New York. And that gives you protection in case Soto walks at the end of the year. And if Steve Cohen or somebody gives him $600 million guaranteed, he's going to walk because the Yankees are not going to be able to give him that $600 million.
Why not?
Well, they can do it, but will they do it?
Well, I mean, that's the question. You just answered it. I'm just saying, I hope you're aware of that. You answered the question and said they wouldn't. So I'm curious why you think they won't.
Well, I don't think they're going to go $600 million.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll go $500, but I don't see, I think that Soto is so good and so talented, right, that you got to go all chipped in because it's a possibility he may walk. Okay.
I agree. This makes this year with Juan Soto, and not just Juan Soto, Aaron Judge in the prime of his career, Cole in the prime of his career, right now Cole's not this because he's coming off an injury. It's been a couple starts. But, I mean, heading into the season, you have arguably the best pitcher in Major League Baseball and the best hitter in Major League Baseball. You've got to find a way to win when you have the best pitcher and the best hitter. You have to find a way to win. And now you add Juan Soto to that mix on a one-year deal? Absolutely. Without question. This is from day one. This is not new on July 11th or whatever today is. This is not new. This is a must-win year. Has been, will be. There's no doubt about it. That's what I just said about Brian Cashman and the idea of what being open to anything means. I do not believe open to anything means open to selling. I don't. He can't sell this year. It's ridiculous. And he's not going to be, I mean, as bad as the Yankees have been, look, how could they be worse? The Yankees can't be any worse than they've been over the last 25 games. They can't be any worse. And they're 4.5 games up on the wild card and 2 games back of first place. What do you think is going to happen in the next 3 weeks with a week off for the All-Star break? Do you think they're going to completely fall out of it? There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell they're completely out of this thing. They're going to be a playoff team. When the trade deadline happens on July 30th, at that moment, they will be a team that would be in the playoffs if the season ends that day. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And he's not going to sell on that kind of team, no matter how much bad baseball they've played or for how long they've played it. He's not going to give up on a team that's in the playoffs. He's going to buy because, as Andre just said, this is a must-win season. And I don't know if they'll give Juan Soto $600. I don't know if anybody else will give Juan Soto $600. But I think they will give Juan Soto enough money to sign. I do. I believe that. And that's why it's so important that, you know, Volpe is actually a freaking player here. And it's so important that Wells is a player. And it's important now that Ben Rice is going to be a player because you're going to need to rely on your development. You're going to need to rely on these guys. That's why it's so important. Jason Dominguez is going to be your starting center fielder next year. Like, these guys need to pan out because that's how you pay Soto. That's how you pay Judge. That's how you still hold on to a contract of Stanton. How you pay Cole is be cheap in a lot of different places. Volpe's making $400,000. You got to have two or three guys making $400,000 on your team. And by the time it's time for them to get paid, then the other guys are circling out. That's how you do it. That's how you pay the couple of superstars. And it won't be easy. In a year or two, he's going to have to deal with a payroll that's higher than he'd like. But it's not... He never said he will never again have a payroll over 300. He's just saying that's not the plan. Right now, we're in over the plan, and he'll do it for a year or two or maybe even three, but he's not going to spend the rest of his tenure as the Yankees owner above these rungs in the salary cap or in the luxury tax. He's just not going to do it regularly. But they might be in a position right now where they have no choice for the next year or two. But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. They're going to add. Now, Vladimir Guerrero, I don't know. I don't see Vladimir Guerrero. I don't. Hey, listen, I was the first one to bring it up. I brought it up a month ago. I brought it up the day they traded, what's his name, Biggio. The day they traded away Biggio, I said, hey, maybe they're breaking this thing up. Vladimir Guerrero plays first base. I said it a month ago. And while, yeah, that would be an impact bat in the middle of the lineup, and I haven't paid attention. He was hot right as the Yankees were playing him. I don't know if he's cooled off. I haven't paid attention to what Vlad's done over the last week and a half, last week or so. But we know how good he is. And I totally think he'd be open to come play here. But I don't know. I think they're more likely, in all honesty. And maybe they're better off doing it because they have so many spots they could look to fill where you get above average players in a bunch of different spots as opposed to the one dynamic player in the middle of the lineup. I've always been a dynamic player guy. I've always been a game changer player guy. But if you're going to look to add a first baseman, a third baseman, maybe a second baseman, relievers, maybe a starter. I mean, like that's theoretically the amount of pieces they could look to target at the deadline. If you get Jonathan India and McMahon, from Colorado, like, does that help you more than getting Vladimir Guerrero? Does that help the lineup more? Does that lengthen the lineup more, giving you two options to help bolster this team and take the roster spot of two guys who aren't performing? And again, I don't know if I see that. I don't know if I see them just, you know, bringing in India and moving Gleyber Torres for nothing. I find that hard to believe. But they definitely need bullpen help. They definitely need a third baseman. That's where I would look to target. And I'm starting to think maybe just a bunch of solid players is probably better than getting the one excellent player. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. I mean, that's the question, really, as they head to this deadline. What is Cashman going to be able to do? That's like, who becomes available? I don't know. How many teams? That's what the crux of this whole conversation is we're having these conversations. We're trying to figure out what the Yankees will do, what the Mets will do, and we keep bringing up the same names like Mason Miller. We keep bringing up Crochet out of Chicago. We keep bringing up Tanner Scott out of Miami because those are the only teams we know that are selling. I mean, we have no idea who might become available. No idea. And you mentioned Stanton before. And I am 100% on board. Like, for me, if you heard the report yesterday, first of all, 2 days ago, the report was Stanton could start rehab games at the end of the month. Then the report yesterday was Stanton might just be in the lineup at the end of the month and forego rehab games, which I would say, bravo. He does not need to go on rehab games. He's DHing. He can barely run. I'm not kidding. I would put him in the lineup tomorrow. I would activate him tomorrow. I saw footage of him jogging out in the outfield. If he can jog, like, honestly, I'm not kidding. The guy doesn't run. They need him in the lineup to just to give a like just to give a threat and hopefully, you know, hit some home runs or hit some gappers, knock in some runs. I don't care if every ball he hits to the wall is a single. I don't care. I don't care if he can't go first to third. I don't care if it stays in the station. I don't care about any of that. If he can jog out in the outfield, that's all he's been able to do this whole time anyway. So, yeah, is the second he feels comfortable swinging a bat, put him in the lineup. They don't have better options. Let's try and get him as soon as possible to get him as many at-bats as possible to get him back in the swing of things as early as possible. Because he is so important to this team. It's not even close. I mean, he's been more justified in his absence than he was having a good year. Like, even playing well was like, hey, wow, you know what? He's better than I thought. I thought he was dead. I thought the Yankees were better off just getting rid of him. He's actually having a really nice year. He's hitting a bunch of home runs. All right. You know, he's hitting the 240, 250 we expect him to hit, but still. Or, you know, we were hoping he would hit as his ceiling. He's not going to hit 300 ever again. He's not going to be a, you know, a 900 OPS guy, but he's having a solid year, hitting a bunch of home runs. I feel pretty good about Stanton. How do you feel about him now when you witness what has happened since he's been gone? I mean, he is an enormous part of this team and always has been and has always got too much flack. He's injured all the time. That's the issue. Other than that, he's been a productive Yankee. I'm sorry. He just has been. He hasn't been anywhere near the MVP they traded for. He hasn't been anywhere near worth the money he gets paid. Again, show me the guys who are. You can count them on one hand. So is he overpaid? Of course. Did they get the MVP they traded for? No. Has he been a productive player? You bet your ass he's been a productive player. And you want to look at him in the postseason or down the stretch of seasons. In 2021, he carried them to the playoffs. Carried them. In 2018, he carried the Yankees while Judge missed a ton of time and hit 30-plus home runs and drove in 100 runs his first year with the Yankees, dealing with a shoulder injury. Stanton has been a productive player, and they desperately need him back. And I don't care if he can't run. He doesn't run anyway. As soon as he's comfortable that he can jog and not re-injure himself, I'm putting him back in the lineup. I don't need days down in the minor leagues. I don't need anything. Stanton needs to come back now. And then as far as lineup construction, maybe we'll get to that because I don't know how people felt about Verdugo hitting at the top of the lineup, but I'll give you my opinion on it, and we'll get into some of the different things that happened in this game. And honestly, let's be fair, myself included, and I'm not telling you all of a sudden I think Boone's done a great job. I still think that there are issues that, you know, he is clearly the leader of the team, and we've seen some lackadaisical play, no doubt about it. I'm still on him for all the things I'm on him for. But Boone had a great day yesterday. And I just want to point it out because we never recognize it, ever. In 2 weeks, he will bring in a reliever who gets pounded and costs them and loses the game. And we will go nuts and we will talk about Boone never makes the right decision. Boone has no idea what he's doing with the bullpen. He's an absolute disaster. He has the Midas touch, as someone told me yesterday, that every time he brings in a reliever, it's the wrong decision. Well, yesterday he was pitch perfect. And let's see if people remember it.